Hey, everybody, Sam Carpenter here, and you're in for a treat on today's podcast. Josh Fonger, my business partner, the guy who has helped more entrepreneurs create their strategic objectives than anyone on this planet, will be quickly walking you through five tweaks you can make to make a winning business strategy. I've seen his outline for the podcast, and it's exactly on target. So be sure to take notes, because as he goes through case study after case study of real client work using the systems mindset protocol, you'll see how carefully documenting your strategy is the number one thing you can do to dramatically make your business more scalable, profitable, and lead you to more freedom. Here's Josh.
Welcome, everyone. This is Josh Fonger, and today we're going to be talking about an exciting topic, one that it's probably my favorite thing to do in terms of systemizing businesses, and that is adjusting their strategy. So today, five tweaks for a winning business strategy. You can take these techniques today, you can apply them today, and they will make a difference. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. Now today could be really a 10-hour lecture, but Sam and I have talked about it, and that's a little bit too long. So instead of 75 strategies, it's just going to be five. But these are really potent, very useful, and take some notes, apply them, and I know you'll see a difference in your business. Now, the first one is an often overlooked strategy. It's mentioned in Sam's book. It's one of his key phrases. It's called minority of one, and this is seeing your business as your business, not like anyone else's business. And the clearest way I can share this is probably through a case study. I was working with a single dad in the UK. He had recently gone through chemotherapy. He's in his 50s. So you can see I'm adding some context here. And he had an online business. He was selling products. And strategically, we wanted to build a business based on his constraints, his life situation, his needs, also what his clients needed, also what fit with his business model. But the starting point, I think, for a lot of business owners is they get wrapped up in too many ideas, too much advice. And what is Uber doing? What is Apple doing? How about Zappos? What's the latest thing Starbucks is doing? And they forget that their business is built and for and designed by them, which gives them control. And your business strategy, if you want it to be a winning strategy, one that works for you, your family, your team, you have to start from there. You have to just start from what exactly do I need out of my business? And for him, he had done really well with online businesses before, and he'd also lost a lot of money before, and he didn't want to deal with that anymore. No more roller coasters for him. So it was all about building systems to scale his team, to diversify his products, to diversify where those products would be sold online, and to do it in a way that gave him true freedom. And so this was a business customized for him. This strategy would not work for you. It would not work for anyone but him. I think that's a really important part in terms of building a business you love, building the strategy that works for you and that you can execute, is to deal with the realities of your constraints, the realities of you, and then build a business starting from that strategy. So that's called a minority of one. I hope you take that first tweak and look at your business and say, am I building what I need, what I want, what my family needs, or am I just building this because I read it in a book and it sounds great, and you know, this is what Warren Buffett does, so this is what I'm going to do too. Because I often find that the ideas in business books or in the news really don't apply to most small companies, especially ones who are just starting out. But if you are a billion-dollar business, then maybe you should read up more on that. But that's step number one. Look at your strategy from that lens. Second strategy is leveraging your assets. Now, this is not just real estate, right? This is any asset you have in your business. It can be content. In this case, I'm going to share a story with regards to a It was a home, let's see if I can get this right, a home staging business in Australia. So the way that works is they have a lot of furniture. In this case, they had over 1,000 pieces of furniture. And then they would put this into various high-end homes to help the homes sell for top dollar and to sell quicker. All right, so it's a home staging business. And what we realized is they had a lot of assets. They had over 1,000, right? Thousands of couches, chairs, lamps, rugs, you name it, they had it, but they only made money off this equipment, these assets, when they were renting them. So that's a good way to make money, and they were growing, their team, which is great, but this was an underutilized asset, a lot of them. And so what we did is we started an inventory system, a tagging system, because strategically, we wanted to sell these things. And there were two different ways that they were not being sold where they could be. One is in the homes themselves. So someone's touring the homes, potential home buyers, realtors, they could buy that furniture, right? It's available. Also, instead of stocking everything in a warehouse far from the city, they had a showroom. So we set them up on a showroom to also sell those assets there. So then they have more revenue streams from the same assets. They can help them not get so obsolete, and they can churn them faster. So that was about leveraging assets. So think about your business. What do you have? Do you have content that's an asset that's underutilized? Right? Another quick example. One of my first clients, karate studio. He had an asset, which was the studio, and we determined that there was a lot of dead time. So he started doing, had another company come in there and do some fitness boot camps in the morning. And he also had a dance company use his studio as well. So now, three revenue streams, same location, that's maximizing the asset. So look at your business strategy and think, am I utilizing all of my assets? And if I am, are they fully being utilized and leveraged? Or are there new ways I can use them to help scale my business, to increase profitability, so then I can reinvest and grow? That's usually an opportunity that's not fully maximized in businesses. Third thing is to simplify your product or service. All right, now, I was working with a home flipper / remodeler in Florida, and he reminds me of a lot of business owners. They are smart. Usually way above average, brilliant people. That could be you, probably is, if you own a business and you're successful with it. But you get into a trap. The trap is you know how to make money. In this case, he can make money in up markets and down markets and side markets. He can make money with $1 million homes, starter homes, homes he had to gut, homes where he just had to do some touch-up paint. You name it, he could figure out ways to make money with it. But as you can imagine, that is very complex, and you need someone with his mind to be able to solve those complex problems. How do you scale that? Well, you don't, right? That's why he'd been doing it for 20 years, and he had a team of 4 people. That's the problem, right? And he wanted to grow the business and not be so stuck in the inner workings of every single deal. That could be you. So what did we do? Well, we decided to adjust his strategy and figure out where was the most money made, what type of home. And this ended up being these single family homes, starter homes. And then it was where is the best location, right? So he was in Tampa. So instead of having a range of 100 miles, it was 15 miles, right? So we tightened the range. We tightened the product type, the type of home, including the dollar amount. And then we also identified what type of home could he maximize the ROI on, right? Not just homes where he could buy it and resell it, but since he had a construction background and a construction team and he had lots of relationships there, if he could do some work on the home, he could do better than most of the folks out there. But this gets complex. So how do we reduce complexity? Again, it was 3 different design styles. So he had 3 different types of fixtures and 3 different types of painting schemes and 3 different types of flooring schemes that could all work together so he could reutilize these designs and buy better to, again, save time, which would save money, which would allow him to scale his business and his team, right? So building systems, I mean, all of you here are here to scale your business, right? That's what the work, the system methodology is all about. And so to do that, you do need to cut the complexity out of your product and service. Are there too many variables? Is it too complex? Too much customization, right? And in this case, he had way too much, and we really cut that down so we could make the maximum profit for his time. And then you can document systems. You can document procedures. You can scale. And you don't have to have a 20-year veteran in the business who's a superstar and pay them a ton of money to work in your business. You can bring people on who are more junior, freshmen in your industry, and they can be very productive and very useful and help you grow because it's less complex. So that's a key one. Simplify your product or service. Number four on the list, clarifying your customer. I see this almost always in every business. So think about this, clarifying your customer. What does that mean? Well, I was working with a signage company in British Columbia, and over the years, they, you know, nice owners, most business owners are quite nice. So if you come into this company or you call this company and you need a sign, they're going to do it for you, right? You need one business card, you need one banner, and maybe someone's having a 50-year anniversary and you help them print one banner. They'll do that for you. They'll design it for you. Or if you need a pylon sign, a wall sign, neon sign, interior sign, exterior sign, vinyl sign, they'll do anything. Right? But doing everything for every customer, again, too complex. And so what we did is we took some time strategically to decide, what kind of customer do you want? Well, for them and for you, you probably want the customer who's going to line up, align with what you do best, that you can charge the most for, that you can achieve the highest lifetime value out of that customer. In this case, it was business owners who were going to order lots of signage over a long period of time and who did not need as much hand-holding during the design process. All right, so part of the simplification was to pick the right customer. We also cut out a lot of the design process and charged a lot more for it, but it came down to picking the right customer. So for you, are you working with anybody and everybody? Or have you really clarified what kind of customer you want to work for? Because this will go back to number three in terms of what your products and services are. They all align. There needs to be continuous alignment through all these steps if you're going to really have the most impact and be the most profitable and the most scalable. So look at your customers, and likely there's some that you wish you could fire. And so you have to clarify this. Clarify this through your pricing. Clarify this through your offering. Clarify this by saying no to certain work, and saying yes to the right kind of work, and then you can build systems directly for your customer. This is one of the key strategic advantages Sam has in his business. Sam Carpenter, the author of Work the System, is by picking out six key verticals, industries that he's going to work with in his answering service, Centratel, only working with those six key verticals, building systems around those six customer types only. That's how you get to be the best, is by refining your customer. And the last on the list of five, and it could be 75, but the last one we're going to go through today, I think this will give you enough to work on, is making sure your strategy is scalable. In other words, removing bottlenecks. In other words, removing yourself from the mix, right? The more you are involved in the day-to-day operations as a technician, the more your strategy is going to not scale. It's not going to grow because it's always going to be dependent upon you being there all the time and you being the bottleneck, and therefore you're stuck, right? You are stuck as an employee, maybe a high-paid employee, maybe a low-paid employee, but you're an employee, a necessary one, in the day-to-day operations of your business. And for most of you, I know for me, what I'm trying to build is to grow out of that, right? To make it scalable, to remove the bottlenecks. right? And so I'm working with this copywriter right now. I'd say he's quite famous in his circles as a copywriter. Very high demand, and he can charge a lot for his copy. But guess what? Then he's someone else's employee, and he doesn't have a true business. He's just he's kind of a slave to his clients, maybe getting paid well, but you can't grow from there. There's no scalability in that service, and there's a cap to how much you can charge for copy. So he saw that, and we worked on a system. And the system, a strategy. And the strategy was to identify the secret sauce, the specialness of his copywriting, right, to document this copywriting style, to mechanize how this style could be created, to build a library, database of content that his team could use, and then train his team of writers to write in this style, which is very unique but very powerful. Also, if you're going to be writing, there's also other opportunities to make money with these kind of clients, which SEO type services, link building, and this was another service he could add on that he wouldn't have to do that linked up or connected well with copywriting. And then he looked for a certain client type that would want monthly writing and link building. And so then he's starting to build a business that has a good strategy that's scalable. And his company is growing. It's growing like mad. And the reason being is he took himself out of the equation and he went from being a highly paid writer to a business owner. Right? He shifted his strategy to make it scalable, not just thinking about how do I make the most money tomorrow. It's how do I build something that can scale, that can last, and removes the bottlenecks. And he really took all these techniques that I mentioned, all five of them, but the last one is the key, which is making the strategy scalable or removing yourself as a technician. You have to be the CEO. You have to be the leader. No one else will. And if you're not being the leader and the CEO and the owner, then no one is, right? Your company flounders. It flounders, and companies can flounder for decades until they go out of business. And floundering companies can never be sold. So this is the last key technique. Looking at your strategy, is it scalable? Are there bottlenecks? Are you in the middle of those bottlenecks? If you are, you need to make a shift. It doesn't need to be dramatic in a day, but move towards it. Be patient with yourself as you move towards it, but move towards it. Set that direction. That's what strategy is all about, is setting that direction and then building the building blocks to take you there. Right, and that can take time, but you have to start somewhere. And I hope these five techniques will help you on your journey. So quickly, they are minority of one, right? So think about you. What do you want to build? What does winning mean to you? What is the goal for you? What is the end direction? Where is the finish line? You have to set that up first if you have any chance of success. Number two, leverage your assets. Number three, simplify your product or service. Four, clarify your customers. And five, making your strategy scalable. So those are the five. Now, if you need more help, more resources, certainly we have, Sam and I have a number of other podcasts on workthesystem.com. There's blog posts, which are going to help you with your systems thinking, shifting your mindset. That's critical for business owners to get that shift. You can read the book, Work the System. We offer it for free on workthesystem.com for a download. And then there's also coaching, consulting, events, you name it. It's all on workthesystem.com. So go there if you need some help. And make sure to check back here in a month for our next podcast where we help business owners smooth out their operations, produce predictable profits, and dramatically grow their businesses using systems. Thanks, everybody.